Now let's have another conversation with another of our broadcast partners. He's a man who is associated with our ministry. He's the director of the School of Prophets. It is an advanced training program for postgraduate work. You can go and get a master's degree or a PhD. And actually, we have a conference coming up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, first week of September. You can go to our website, prophecytoday.com, and read all about it, the dates, the rates, and where it's going to take place, everything else. David is going to be there. He's written a brand new book. It's entitled The Harbinger, Fact or Fiction. I have the book right here in front of me right now, in fact, David, and you've done an excellent job. I'm really very proud of you. This comes out of a conversation that David and I had, similar to the one we're going to have right now, back in January, and I asked him about The Harbinger, and this guy knows how to get to the resources and get the information out. That's what this book is all about. It's really dealing with the truth behind whether this book is fact or fiction. And it's a must read. You can get it at our website, prophecytoday.com. But David, you've done an excellent job. How are the sales going? Is it looking good out there across the country?
Well, there's been good interest. Of course, it takes a little while for something to gain some traction, but there are a number of discernment ministries who are aware of it, and everyone in discernment ministries have given some very positive feedback on it.
Well, I can give you positive feedback, and I'm sure many others that are friends of mine would go along with it as well. David is going to be at our School of Prophets conference there in Gatlinburg. We're going to give him 2 hours to give a presentation. It'll be very informative. You do not want to miss that. Again, go to the website, prophecytoday.com. Get all the information about the School of Prophets Prophecy Conference in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, first week of September. David, I hope we're not going to start another uproar across this world. Well, maybe I do hope we will start one, I guess, but another conversation about something I believe controversial. I have seen the promotion for a prayer rally that is going to take place during the Republican National Convention. Actually, I think maybe before, and it's going to happen there in Tampa, Florida. It's going to be held at the River Church. Now, the pastor there is Rodney Howard Brown. Everything was going all right. I looked at the promotion. Everything seemed to be all right. You had some very interesting personalities. Not that I would align myself with every one of them. But all of a sudden, when it says Rodney Howard Brown, that put up a red flag of some type. Is he not the man who actually got the Toronto blessing started and the laughing in the spirit and the slithering in the spirit? Talk to me about Mr. Brown.
Yeah, Rodney Howard Brown is from South Africa, grew up in a Pentecostal church, got involved in the Word Faith movement. And he is the one who is credited with bringing holy laughter to the United States and specifically getting it started, I think, in conjunction with perhaps Randy Clark and then the pastor of the Toronto Airport Vineyard Church, John Arnold. It really took on a life of its own, I guess you could say. Not only was there laughter in the spirit, but there have been reports of manifestations like barking in the spirit, roaring like a lion in the spirit, falling to the floor, slain in the spirit, being in trances for hours, writhing on the floor, just really, really strange things, to the point that even John Wimber and some of the other Vineyard pastors and leaders rejected and distanced themselves from the Toronto Airport Church.
Now, talk to me about these manifestations that supposedly they say are caused by the Holy Spirit of God. You're a student of God's Word. You've been a professor in a theological school for over 20 years. You're a part of our postgraduate program. Is this a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, what they're talking about?
One of the things I tell my students is I'm trying to teach them how to study the Word of God, is that If somebody says something or teaches something theologically, an idea, spiritual idea, or whatever, if it's not found in the Word of God, somebody made it up. And in this case, somebody made it up. These things are not found anywhere in the Word of God, but they are found in practices in in other religions, including those that are very obviously demonically inspired.
Now, when you say that, what do you mean? You're talking about satanic worship of some type or voodoo worship or something?
Well, not necessarily Satan worship per se. I was listening to Brandon House yesterday, and he had Justin Peters on, who is an expert in word faith theology, has his master's degree, wrote his master's thesis at Southwestern on this. One of the things he brought up was a Kundalini spirit, which is connected with Kundalini yoga, which is Hindu, which is Hinduism. And so I did some research into that even later or earlier this morning. The things that are described in those practices virtually are word for word the kind of things that are happening in these word faith churches that experience these manifestations. I wouldn't say, and I wouldn't necessarily say that this is the case every time. There are things like group dynamics and the power of suggestion, and we know how people can be hypnotized as a group. So, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of explanations, but it sure seems to be dangerous spiritual territory, if nothing else, psychologically.
Well, talk to me. What is that your phrase you're using, word faith type of operation?
Word faith basically is an outgrowth of a theology that began developing in the 1950s with William Branham, which is promoted what's called the Latter Day Rain movement, or the Latter Rain movement. It's morphed into a number of different things. Most people look at it as an extreme form of the charismatic movement. And when we talk about word faith specifically, what that means is that they believe that there is actual power in the spoken word. And faith and spoken word are connected. In fact, they would say that God himself used faith, that almost described like the Force in the Star Wars trilogy, that it's something you harness and you bring it in, bring things into existence, reality into existence by speaking the words. And so whether it be speaking to your checkbook to have money appear in your checking account or speak healing by combining the actual words and faith, this is where the idea of word faith comes in.
You know, Jesus Christ preached a message on Monday afternoon of Passion Week. It's called the Olivet Discourse. It's recorded there in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. And I know in Matthew 24, in verses 4, 5, 11, and 24, he talks about using the word deception in each of those verses as that being an indication of his coming back to the earth. Now, not the rapture of the church. I'm talking about the second coming, because Matthew 24 is not dealing with the rapture. It's dealing with the second coming. But he said deception would be the number one sign that tribulation period would come into operation and his return at the end of that seven-year tribulation period. In fact, he says in verse 24, almost the very elect will be deceived. Sounds like what Jesus was talking about 2,000 years ago is actually playing out today.
Well, we're certainly seeing a lot of deception, and it's coming in from a number of fronts. One little interesting note, perhaps, in relation to Matthew 24, and other things that Jesus said would happen prior to his return to the earth, is that there would be those who would claim to be the Christ, said, you know, he's here or there, and he said, don't believe them. And one of the interesting things about word faith is it also contains what is called little God theology, and it's been said by a number of people that, like Benny Hinn, I'm a little Messiah, Paul Crouch, I'm a little God, Kenneth Copeland has said the same thing. So there's some really dangerous and troubling connections.
Well, I have to would say, would you not agree with me, David? These seem to be signs of the last days.
They're certainly setting the stage for people to believe things are coming from God, which they aren't, which is exactly what the nature of the Antichrist deception will be.
Should we then, all of us as believers in Christ, guard from this type of what seems to be satanic ministry? And it really doesn't seem like it's a part of the Holy Spirit's ministry.
Paul said, what fellowship has light with darkness? We have to be very, very careful about entering into alliances, even if they're for causes that may not be directly linked to spiritual issues. One of the things that we're seeing now is that, especially in this election, perhaps like no other, religion and politics and ethics and all of these things are being mixed together in a way that's even perhaps beyond what happened in the 1980s with the moral majority.
You know, this is one of the reasons that we bring to your attention that this prayer rally prior to the Republican National Convention in Tampa is going to be held at the River Church, the Church of Rodney Howard Brown. And again, what you've just said, I think so appropriate for that. How can we mix with this type of really ungodly, non-biblical activity taking place at the church and then try to get a blessing from God for as we pray for our nation, for the leaders of the nation, et cetera, et cetera? Doesn't seem that this is biblically what we should be doing, right, David?
Yeah, and I, as I've been thinking about this and watching what's been happening across the political spectrum and watching what's happening with this election and the run-up to it, you know, one of the things we've often thought is that the Antichrist is going to come through liberal Christianity and promote that, and liberalism and different people have been said to be, you know, promoting this kind of thing. But, you know, as I watch this, I just have to wonder if, you know, there's a whole other segment of the population that's going to be deceived too, and those are those who are politically and conservative, and there's going to be some kind of deception that is going to bring those in as well. And I think one of the things that may be happening is we're blurring the lines between spiritual conservatism, meaning we believe the Bible is the Word of God and you have to have a personal relationship with Christ, blurring that line with political conservatism, where we share some common moral and ethical values. And then I think you have conservatives who think they're on the side of God because that they share those with those who are Christians, but you have conservatives who, you know, they're involved with drunkenness and immorality and adultery and all those things. Conservatism doesn't have anything or direct connection to with somebody is actually living for the Lord and is a child of God.
Wow. Excellent observation as we approach this time of electing the next president and some of our other leaders as well here in the United States of America. Well, thank you, David, for going the extra mile to do a bit of research. I got you at the last moment asking you to dig into this for us. We may have to have another conversation down the line. We'll see how it develops. But so appreciate all of your hard work, and especially that on the Harbinger, too. Fact and Fiction, the name of his brand new book. It's available at our website, prophecytoday.com. Check it out. Get a copy of it. It's a must read. David, thank you so much, my good friend. We'll talk again down the line real soon, I'm sure.
I'll look forward to it.